بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون. Allah Ta'ala has given a three-point plan for prosperity. And around this time of the year, it is most prudent, most expedient, and the best thing to do is to prepare for the month of Ramadan. From now, going right until Hajj, then post-Hajj Muharram, one after the other, there is a Mubarak month, there is a sacred month, there are works to be done, and how wonderful it will be if we prepare ourselves for the occasions. Allah Ta'ala in His mercy has blessed us with this Mubarak occasions, Mubarak times. Quran Sharif Allah Pak says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا. The number of months in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is 12. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. So this was the decision of Allah Ta'ala from the beginning of creation. And within this 12 months, أَرْبَعَةٌ Qurum. There are 4 months that are sacred. So one is that He has created these 12 months, right? And these 12 months are nothing new. It is from the inception of creation. And the second point that Allah Pak is driving towards us is there are 4 months that are sacred. Allama Jassas Razi Rahmatullah Alayh, an expert on the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, he says, what is meant by فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. He says, exercise greater caution in these months. Not that after these months you got a free license to do what you want, but you are cautious right throughout, but in these times be even more cautious. Now, the reason why Allah Ta'ala asks us to be more cautious in these moments, in these months, that if you take care within this time, then the whole year goes smooth. Everything goes smooth after that. But then, it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala, appreciate it. Recognize the gift, appreciate, Allah Pak will grant more. Okay? Your father gives you a car, right? You're reckless about it, speeding, reckless, creasing the brakes, busting and breaking, getting into problems. Then he won't ever think of giving you another car. Although he's got the wealth to do it, but he won't do it. But you're appreciative, using it the right ways, the right places, helping people out, helping yourself out, helping your family, coming to the masjid, doing it, using it rightly, you want to do more for you. Why? You recognize it, it's a gift of your father, appreciating, using it in the right places, in the right ways, in the right manner, he wants to do more for you. So when Allah Pak has given you this gift, you appreciate it, He will grant you even more. So فَلَا تَسْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Be more careful about yourselves in this period here. So these 4 months, we know them. One is Zulqa'dah, then Zulhijjah, and Muharram, Mutawaliyat, three in succession. وَرَجَبَ مُدَرْ بَيْنَ جَمَادَةً were Sha'ban, right? Between Jumad al-Ukhra and Sha'ban is the Rajab. So this 4 months, and now we're in Rajab already, right? By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, He's shown us this month. Then you see all the virtues coming up, the bayans coming up, right? But more than the bayan is, what is supposed to be done, right? What is expected of you? If I tell you, that there's a sale going on, you know, one of its kind, a White Friday, Friday is a Mubarak time, but don't make it black now, please. It's a white Friday, it's a radiant Friday, right? And things are going from nothing to, you know, close to nothing. What you do? Exploit the opportunity. So, فَلَا تَزْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So, understand that it's a Mubarak times, and let me program myself mentally also for this occasion. Physically, I'm prepared with all the things done, all the groceries for Ramadan. Mentally and spiritually, am I prepared for this? Have I done what I'm supposed to be doing for this whole time? What am I supposed to be doing? So in this ayat here, in this verse, ittaqullaha wabtaghu, Allah Pak has given the whole plan. So the first thing he speaks about is taqwa. Right? And this word taqwa is the most repeated command in the whole Quran Sharif. Right? There isn't a command as repeated as the word taqwa. Sometimes this whole surah is starting with taqwa. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. So the whole surah is starting with taqwa. And sometimes the surah is ending with taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. Sometimes it is in a single verse, the word taqwa is repeated twice. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat tighad. Wattaqullah in a single verse, then it's repeated. Then impressing upon taqwa, Allah Pak says, akramakum indallahi atqakum. You want to show and impress that I am better. Why? Because I do this, I tahajjud namaz. And he wants to say that he is better because he does charitable works, right? And he wants to show that no, he is better because he is doing some humanitarian works. But what is the decision of Allah? What's the rule of Allah Ta'ala? It says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most noble, respectable, honorable in my sight is the one that's got taqwa. The greater the taqwa, the more you're just flying up. But the prerequisite is taqwa. Al-Mu'a Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah explains this in a very beautiful way. He says, people are more obsessed with doing nafal, right? By get the wajib right. Get your obligations right. Because the obligations are the things that you're going to be asked about. The nafal is a secondary thing. Now the obligations sometimes relate to your physical self, namaz, roza, zakat, etc. Tangible things, visible things that you know. Right? And obligations are related to the inner self. Right? So get the obligations, internal and external, right. Now it's balanced. But if you don't have that balance, then it's inconsistent. You're not qawwamina bil qist, you're standing out for justice. Because within yourself you are unjust. Within yourself you are unjust. I was explaining some ulama yesterday. If you need to take advice, then biqalbin salim. The man has got a clean heart. Now everybody can say that I got a clean heart. Talk, no, my heart is clean. So simply we say it. And I say, what does a clean heart mean? A clean heart means man has got no prejudice, he's got no malice, he's got no pride. And now why is it that this is a requisite for a clean heart? In the lawyer's paper you get, without prejudice. That's the most exciting thing. He's working for his client and trying to see how he's going to maneuver the case for the client. But what he writes? Without prejudice. Allah jaane wo kya sab prejudice ka kya matlab. But all are not the same. One lawyer was here. I don't know what his profession now, how he's rated in the legal team. But he was from originally from London, right? So he came for some work. In the course of the week, he was struck down bad with the virus, right? Very badly he was struck with the virus. But I liked his reasoning, I liked. So I'm just sharing with you his reasoning. That sometimes they can be circular educated, But their reasoning is like Qalb Saleem. They got a pure heart, clean heart. So this one, he's from London now. Maybe he's a Capetonian. Capetonians, yeah, they forthright. They'll say things as it were. They won't mince their words. Our Indians are built, which are, I'll try and hide things. And they will say it as they were. So he says now, see, it's a one story now. He says, I was almost at the position of a judge. But I declined off. So now he got me engaged now that he was right at that position of a judge, not even a magistrate, right at the position of a judge. And in a Western country, coming from England, right? Maybe he's Cape Town in original, and then he settled down wherever. So he may be a little bit interested, but he was right there. You know, a judge, high court judge. And then you are at that position and you just declined the offer. What happened? So I really liked what he said. He says, you see, I try to understand now what's going to be my portfolio after I'm in that position. Because there are going to be some situations where I need to take a decision. The decision will be obviously conforming with the legal requirement. But the legal requirement may not have to conform with the Sharia requirement. Now look at this man here, right? When you look at the man, first sight is a Cape Town, another kya hai, iske andar kya hai. But when he spoke about his heart, I was really impressed. I was really impressed. So he says, you know what? I thought to myself for a moment, all right, I'm conforming to the legal requirements, and I'm honored, right, for the position, that recognition, and I'm being remunerated accordingly. High court judge, you can imagine now what will be the remuneration packet, security, and all the fringe benefits that comes with it, right? What will it be? But he says, I decline for one reason. But there will be a system, there will be a situation that comes to me. Right? And when it comes to me, and I'll be required by the law to conform to the legal requirements. And the legal requirements don't have to be conforming with the Sharia requirements. I asked him, can you explain yourself? No, I'm a little thick now. You explain to me what you mean by that. So he's explaining now. See, I got a case. The case is about a man with the extramarital affair, right? In other words, zina, right? So he's in zina, or it's a man with a man, right? It's either zina or extramarital, they call it looking like very nice, or it's zina, or it's a man with a man. But now the word that they use is, it must be consensual. So, you are the woman that is already in a marriage, but your relationship is mutually consented, consensual. You didn't force, you didn't coerce the person. It was just mutual, and it was consented. Right? Consensual, right? Also, a man is with a man, but it's consensual, it's not coerced, no force, nothing. Now, if this case has to come to me, that this person is laying a charge against that person, why is he having an extramarital affair? Or why is a man with a man? So, the case comes to me, on my desk. Now, legally, I am forced to go on the legal side and say, you know, it's all right, it's above the board, you've got no right to object to this. You've got no right to object to this because it's legal, it's conforming to legal structures, so you've got no right to object to this. Now, this is where I liked what he said. But if I'm going to be conforming to legal requirements, I'll be recognized, I'll be remunerated accordingly, I'll be rewarded, you know, up till the time I'm serving, and then the pension that comes with it, retirement plan, and all the benefits that come with it, I will be really flourishing. But what's going to happen really, I'll be respecting the legal system and breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala. For breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, I'll be rewarded so much. But if I do it the other way around, I will respect the law of Allah Ta'ala and I'll break the legal system, then they'll take all the benefits away from me. I won't be remunerated, I won't be respected, I won't get that type of severance package, I won't get the retirement plan, I won't get all the perks, I won't get. But then, I'll be conforming and respecting the law of Allah. I don't want to mince my words. So I meant this and I meant that. I don't want to do all that. I want to be straight. You know, the scriptures, they can be straight. Absolutely. They'll tell you as they want. They won't mince their words. They'll say it as it were. So, I won't be breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, but I will be breaking their law. Breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, they'll respect me. In breaking their law, they're going to ostracize me, they're going to break me, all the benefits are going to go. Where I was entitled to 200,000, 300,000 a month, now, as an ordinary worker now, I will get 50,000, 60,000. From where to where? But then, I'm thinking about it, that I won't break the law of Allah Ta'ala. In the event I'm breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, he's talking now, he doesn't know the Arabic, he's giving me the English side. فَمَيَّنْ سُرُونِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ عَسَيْتُ He's saying now, that the Quran Sharif is saying, that who's going to be on to my aid, if I'm going to defy, I'm going to be disobedient to Allah, who's going to be on my side? See now, this is Iman that he's talking. Alright, whatever work he's doing, that is in its place. But what's talking now? What's talking now is his Iman. فَمَيَّنْ سُرُونِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ عَسَيْتُ If I am going to defy, disobey, break the law of Allah Ta'ala, who is going to be on my rescue? Life is short. It's the end, right? We don't know. Who's going to live to what age is going to live? Nobody knows. But in my records, Allah Ta'ala will record, I hope Allah Ta'ala will record, that I tried to preserve his plan and break the law, the legal system. That's how Allah Ta'ala will write it. I broke the legal system to respect and uphold the law of Allah Ta'ala. Not the other way around, that I broke the law of Allah Ta'ala to uphold the legal system. See? So this is how I will be recorded. It just takes my mind to Mahmud Ghaznavi, right? He was one of the conquerors of India. Perhaps around the 5th century or 4th century. So he was breaking down the idols. Whatever idols they were, he was breaking down. So now there's a huge statue there. And those Buddhists and those Pandits, whoever they were, those priests, they pleaded that, just spare this thing here. We'll remunerate you. Ask for the price. We'll give it to you. If you want R1 million, R2 million, we'll give it to you. So, he thought to himself now, one is to break this thing here, right? If I'm going to break this, they're going to worship some other idol. Yeah, I'm going to allow them to continue with this, but they'll be giving so much, and this can be of use to the Muslims. So why don't I spare this idol? Anyway, he says, alright, give me some time, let me think about it. In his dream, he says, that as though it is the Maidan of Hashar, Qiyamah's day, and they say, Mahmud Ghaznavi, Ba'iul Asnan. Mahmud Ghaznavi, the seller of idols. He got up with that, you know, fright, and crashed the thing straight away. But now that's the law of Allah Ta'ala. If you destroy something only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for His pleasure, He will replace you with something far better. When He smashed the thing down, He saw the emeralds, the rubies, the diamonds, all that were hidden in. That's why they were offering a couple of millions for it. The building was just a cover, but they were offering it just because of what they had inside, concealed. Now that's the system of Allah Ta'ala. You break something, leave something, abandon something, only for His sake, then He will give you much more, right? If it's a beloved, right? And only for her sake, or only for you've left out something. They'll appreciate it, obviously. But for my sake, you leave so much. Now Allah Pak will give according to His splendor, His magnanimity. Ibrahim alayhi salam had offered his son. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he offered his son. What Allah gave him in return? Imagine, the only one child is born. At the age of over 90, and he's longing for a child. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. He's longing for a child, he's over 90. Now Allah blesses him with a child. Balagha ma'ahu sa'ya. Now the child is around the time that he can walk with his father. You can see now, you know, the expectations that you had with the child. Now it's blooming, conceiving, full bloom. At that time, Allah says, just place the sword on the neck. So he gave it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, When he gave it for the sake of Allah, what did Allah give him in return? He returned his son back to him. فَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah sent a ram from the heavens. Then he allowed it to be a sunnat Ibrahim till the end of time. Till the end of time, all the qurbanis we are doing is initiated from Ibrahim alayhi salam. But you see that when he did it purely for Allah Ta'ala, that's how Allah Ta'ala remunerated him. But that yaqeen, that I'm doing it only for Allah Ta'ala, leaving this business, leaving this practice, whatever, but only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm leaving this. So we're coming back to this lawyer story. That he was posed right to that point, and he said, just because of, I don't want to break the law of Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to play around, I don't want to maneuver. We as lawyers, we know how to maneuver, work around the law, we know how to do it. We can't plan. But with the plan of Allah Ta'ala, with the law of Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to maneuver, I don't want to plan, I don't want to do anything. Just keep it straight. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. Just keep it straight. Don't deviate. So I don't want to play around here. See now the iman that he showed me. That's what touched me. That's why I'm sharing this experience. Now he says, I remained like this. And then I was struck with this virus. It just got up about 2 weeks ago. It just got up. But he says, you know, the most striking lesson that I learned, two things he says, I am so glad that I didn't admit myself in a hospital. Right? I didn't go to hospital. My friend, doctors and all that, they helped me out through the whole period, 1-2 months it took, but they helped me out through it. Right? But he says now, see, I'm such a prosperous person. This is what I earn. Very big amount of earning, right? He says, I'm such a prosperous person. But when I was struck with the virus, now that ayat, that here in Arabic, it says, "Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah." You are totally dependent. I realized the worthlessness of wealth. I got so much. I got investments, properties here, everywhere I got. Everything I got. But when I couldn't breathe rightly, I couldn't inhale properly, you know, then I understood what is the worth of this world. Now this man is talking, he says, I was on the verge of death. And he's telling me that I'm going to sleep in such a state, I don't know if I'm going to get up alive or not. But in that state, this thing just struck. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are totally dependent. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. Allah Ta'ala is free of all wants, worthy of all praise. So this ayah just struck to me. The way it struck, it went right through my mind. But you see that iman. So sometimes, you get this situation also. Now, I don't say now, send your child to become a lawyer, and he'll become so intelligent, he'll become such an imani person. You get an exception to the rule. He's in the environment, but something pierces him, and he's a different person altogether. Now that is an exception to the rule. It's not that you must send your child to that environment, and he also can become like this. So we are talking about this verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. And this person's incident, this episode, was striking my mind, so I had to share it with you. So, there's three commands of Allah Ta'ala. One is taqwa. One is وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. Look out for the means of proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Look out for the means to come close to Allah Ta'ala. For the ways how you will come closer to Allah. وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. How you will come closer to Allah. Now see how apt it is for the time that we are in. Rajab, Shaban, and then Ramadan. Then after that is Hajj, try it straight away. But look for all the ways to gain the closeness to Allah Ta'ala. This is the ideal time to prepare. Make a preparation, make an arrangement, put the proper structures. So when the month of Ramadan, when we're just stepping into the month of Ramadan, we're stepping into the blessing already straight away, you understand, we can feel the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. To feel the blessing, to appreciate the blessing, obviously we have to make some preparation, some arrangement in advance that we're appreciating your blessing of Allah Ta'ala. So the first thing that Allah Ta'ala speaks about is taqwa. Because the taqwa is the most important thing. And that's in the word of the Mu'tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. People are worried about the nawafil, but the wajib and obligations are getting left out. And I spoke about qalb salim. The qalb salim requires these three things. And how important it is to have that qalb salim in order to be able to make any type of progress. You don't have that sound heart, that clean heart, you can't make the progress. No matter how much you say that I got a clean heart, but do you know what it is to have a clean heart? I can say, he can say, everybody can say that we have clean hearts, but what does it mean? What is required to have the clean hearts? You can say now, all this thing is hygienic, is sanitized, right? But now, is it in keeping with health standards? Someone that knows about the health standards, he'll need to approve of it. So exactly the same, Allah Ta'ala will have to approve of that clean heart. You cannot just say it's a clean heart. He must approve of it. So in order for Allah Ta'ala to approve that your heart is clean, internal, the taqwa and the wajib of the inner side. One is the wajib that relates to the outer dimension. One is the wajib that relates to the inner self. Now for that we need, one is, I said, the heart must be cleansed from malice. Because if you don't have the cleanliness of the heart, you can't see the picture right. You have malice in the heart, can you see right? If I got malice in my heart, can I see right? I can't see right. Like for example now, it's an institute, right? I need to employ him and this person here. So one of the two must employ. For a certain office, I got malice for one person, will I employ him? Although it may be that he is even better than that person in accomplishing and executing the work, he is far better than this person here. But now I have got a malice for him. I got malice for him, will I choose him? So when you got that malice at heart, can you make the right decision? Can you think right? Can you analyze right? Can you see right? You can't see right. So that's why Rasulullah Pak Sarsa made it so easy. Keep your heart clean. No malice for anybody. And that's the ticket to Jannah. Ya bunayya wa innaha min sunnati wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil Jannah. So what a reward is given that you've got no malice in your heart for any Muslim. وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدٍ. No malice for any person. Absolutely, heart is clean. When your heart is clean, then this is my sunnah. When this is my sunnah, you like my sunnah, you love me. And you love me, you'll be with me in Jannah. So what a cheap thing is given, you know, just to get that position recognition. Many times you can cover up for a person mentally, you saw something, whatever. Isa alayhi salam is seeing a thief, right? He's seeing a thief. I was surprised that hadith in Bukhari Sharif. I saw it first in some tasawuf kitab. I said, alright, maybe it's a riwayat. But I was surprised that he's in Bukhari Sharif. So he saw someone stealing. I said, Anta sariqun, you are a thief. He said, Wallahi, la ma saraqtu, I never steal. So Isa alayhi salam's reply was, I reject my eyes and I believe in Allah Ta'ala. He took the name of Allah Ta'ala. Wallahi ma saraqtu, I never steal. She said, I disbelieve my eye may have seen wrong, and I believe in Allah, I believe in what you say. But you see the level of the cleanliness of the heart. See the level of the cleanliness of the heart. So now, one thing that is required to gain the access is the cleanliness of the heart. And the cleanliness of the heart requires these three things. One is, you mustn't have any malice. Like I say, you have the malice, can you act upon the structures of taqwa? The structures of taqwa required in this situation that you give the job to the one that is competent, most competent. He was most competent and you didn't give him the job, right? I ask you, have you failed in your duty or not? Especially if it's a public organization. What is your personal business? You can do what you want, right? But in a public entity, then you need to give the job to the person that is most competent. So he was most competent, but I have got a malice for the person. Can I ask him into that position? See that. So are you in conformity with the requirements of taqwa? The second thing that is required, a heart must be clean of greed and jealousy. Can't be greedy, can't be jealous. If your heart is infected with greed, right? Now people have explained greed as what? As progress, we are very progressive. We see any investment, we are there. In the standards of the Sharia, this is greed. You may say progressive, but the standards of the Sharia is saying that this is greed. Now, if someone is obsessed with greed, what happens? I'll show you two stories, right? And these two stories came from the madrasa, so I'll tell you. I'll just change the names and all that, but I'll tell you the exact story, right? So these two people are in partnership, right? Say they're in partnership in a grocery shop, right? So they need to buy beans. So this partner says that the beans will be bought from my factory. Now the whole dispute was, he is insisting that the beans must be bought from my factory. So he's the brain in the business, and what he insists that the beans must be bought from my factory. I said, this is unfair. Because you are gaining a double profit. One is bought from your factory, one profit you have got here, and the second profit is because of the partnership. You are gaining double. So this person is losing out. So it's not fair. I said, but I am the captain of the ship. Can't I do what I feel is best? So I said, if you're going to be thinking like this, right, this man is going to see beans at a better quality, at a better price. He will have to just close his mouth and his eyes. I can't do this. I'm going to break the partnership. Now I say, is it right? Or are you exploiting? You're taking undue advantage over the situation. Now all these partners have died now. So I can talk about it. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. I know them. I can still picture them when they came here. So all of them have died. Finished. Kalas. End of the story. Right. So I can talk about them. But you see that when you have that greed or you have that jealousy now, and what happens to the person? One person came here. So he's talking about how he progressed in life, you know. How he and his father and how they progressed in life. So now, you have to listen to them, then correct them. Right. A lot of nonsense you have to hear. In my position, a lot of nonsense, right? A lot of time I have to make istighfar. I don't listen to these things here. Because it's a 2-minute job, I have to listen 1 hour. Just to get a two-minute benefit, I must listen 1 hour. And consideration for the person, I must listen to the story. Right. So he's telling me, you see, that so-and-so came up to my grandfather. He is taking mashwara from my grandfather. He's asking my grandfather that I need to go for an auction there. So and so, please, right? I need to go for an auction. This is the property, this is the price, and this is the place. So my grandfather put him off, saying, no, it's not the right price, not the right place, don't buy it. So anyway, quietly, my grandfather went, and he auctioned for it, and he bid for it, and he got the thing. Hey, it was a gold mine. We just progressing. You know how much we made out of that? Now, I ask you, was that fair? See that greed. That greed, it pushed him to mislead the person that came to consult. I say, can he reason right? Was it in conformity with the requirements of taqwa? Outwardly, he's a namaz, he's doing everything else. But I ask you, within, is he acting within the conformity of taqwa or not? Is he conforming? Now, we don't regard this as a sin. He, up till now, his grandfather is dead and gone. Father is dead and gone. But he's talking about this, and he's talking about it with pride. Now, can you expect that person to have a qalb salim, a good heart, a sound heart, where he's misleading someone else? See this qalb salim. Allah Pak is saying also, on the day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلُمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Nothing is going to come on your side, not your wealth, not your children, all your supporters, nothing will come on your side. You look for children for support, isn't it? Wealth to strengthen you, right? And children for support. So your children and your wealth not on your side. So what will be on your side? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. You got a good heart, that's going to be on your side, to your favor. See this. And the third thing that is required to give this qalb as-saleem is you can't have an iota of pride. Fir'aun knew that Musa alayhi salam was the true person. He knew. And at the end, right, hatta idha adrakahu al-gharak, at the end he confessed, hatta idha adrakahu al-gharak, qala amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amarat bi banu Israel wa ana min al-muslimin. He confessed. He knew that was right. But right till the end, what stopped him from accepting Musa alayhi salam? Jahadu biha wastayqanatha anfusuhum zulman wa uluma. This pride had got the better of him. when the pride had gripped him, it just jammed the path. You couldn't see beyond. You couldn't see beyond. He jammed the path. And he only came to his senses when the race was over. Now the race was over. Now you say something, will it be counted? The race is over now. Now you can't do anything about it. The race is until you are at that point. Until you are at that point, then the race is on. But you reach that point, and now you say, no, I believe now. Writing an examination paper, the time is gone. Past the examination time. He said, no, teacher, I got the answer now. Will you accept it? Will you ever accept it? No, the time is past now. Now it's you. How much you know it, that doesn't count. The time is past, finished. So Allah also says, Al ana waqat, now you want to accept. Now the time is gone, class. End of the story. So you see this, what came and jammed his path was his pride. Again, you look at Shaitan, what came and jammed his pride, what came and jammed his path was pride. He was going, he was making ibadah, making sajda right through in the asman, he was making everything. But what jammed him? The thing that came and jammed him, أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ I, you see. He didn't say to himself that this is the command of my Allah Ta'ala. He said, me, I must go down to this man. So that me came first, then Allah Ta'ala came. And what Allah Ta'ala is saying, I must come first, then you. You bring me first, then you look at yourself. Don't reverse the whole thing. Now he brought himself first, and then second in line is Allah Ta'ala. So he reversed the whole thing. So that's the whole essence of ikhlas. Bring Allah Ta'ala first. In any equation, Allah Ta'ala, will Allah Ta'ala be happy. My batin, my zahir. From what I'm doing and what I'm saying. What's in my heart, what's in my mind. What's in my tongue. Is Allah Ta'ala happy? I can run this through people, I can win. I'll explain that to him, he'll be impressed. That person will be impressed. But will I be going through with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? I need to ask about this. So taqwa, we got the outer dimension, but we need to ask ourselves, have we got the inner dimension of taqwa or not? And I say, you don't have the inner dimension, you can't get through. See that, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. How clear this is. And I'm showing how clear it is that the heart can't be salim if you don't have this. See, you don't have that. The pride is out. The jealousy and malice is out, and the greed is out. You don't have these things here, then you got a qalb salim. But you got these elements within you, and you say, no, I got a clean heart. So by you off, you don't know what the meaning of clean heart. You don't know what it is. It's just whoops. It's just words. Innaha kalla, innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha. It's just words now, nothing. Innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha. It's just words that you are repeating. Nothing more than that. So, the first point in gaining the closeness to Allah Ta'ala is to get the taqwa right, to get the wajibat right. The inner side right, the outer right. The inner side right, the outer right. Then you are in conformity. You can't say, no, but how can I say this? And I will give him a mouthful of him. In Bukhari Sharif is a hadith, Uyayna ibn Hisn, right? So his nephew was, I think, Hur. Jad or Jud ibn Hur, that was his name, right? So this Jud ibn Hur, he was part of the parliament of Umar radiallahu anhu, parliament, Shura. So he's part of the parliament. And this Uyayna wants a meeting with Umar radiallahu anhu. Now he knows that he's a member of the parliament. So let me go through him, I'll get an audience with Umar radiallahu anhu. So now he's coming to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa of the time, Amirul Mu'minin. Now, no salam, no kalam, no address, absolutely nothing. He says, Wallah, by Allah, you are not fair to us. And you didn't give us sufficient. That was the complaints. Umar radiallahu anhu was disturbed. I've done so much. And this man is blatant, he doesn't know how to address himself, he doesn't know how to conduct himself. How can he do this? So the nephew that is part of the parliament, he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Allah Pak says, Udhil af, wa amur bil urf, wa a'rid anil jahilin. Allah Pak says, hold on to forgiveness, not forgive. Just randomly, freely, just forgive. Don't you want Allah Pak to forgive you? When you come, when you land into the grave, when you're standing before Allah Ta'ala, don't you want Allah Ta'ala just, alright, whatever it is, I'm just forgiving you, I'll go now, move. Don't you want that term? Whatever is happening, I just forgive you. So you also hold on to forgiveness. Don't keep thinking and talking now. This person, this is what he did on this occasion. If Allah Ta'ala tries to interrogate you and scrutinize you, this person here, at that moment, this is what he did. I see, will there be anything left of you? Just free them freely, just forgive. Just forgive. وَأَعْرِدْ أَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ And just ignore the jahils. Jahil doesn't mean person is ignorant only, but he's acting like a jahil. Though he may be knowing, and he may be well-versed, but now he's behaving like a jahil. So just avoid such people. And وَهُوَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِ He's coming from the sticks, he's coming. He's a jahil. So the hadith says, كَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard the word of Allah Ta'ala, he will stop on his tracks. You know, like a car that is voting, right? 300. And you say it within 10 meters, no, just stop. That's Umar radiallahu anhu. He'll do what is impossible. You know, at the heat of that moment, he's about to strike the person. You know, his heat is already about to strike the person. And the Quran is just read. And to stop on your tracks, going at that speed, that is a miracle in itself. Look for other miracles in Umar radiallahu anhu. Just look at this. He's about to strike the person for his incorrect behavior. Right? Samir, he can do that. But now the Quran Sharif is recited, and how he stops right on his tracks. Now that is called a proper heart. That is called iman. See, you are fuming. You are really, really worked up. And then someone just reads one verse, and the verse, the way it strikes you, it stops you straight on your tracks. So, ittaqullah. That's the first requirement. And the second requirement is وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ The ways to gain closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Seek for the ways, look out for the ways, search for the ways that you will gain to Allah Ta'ala. Now you got this moment now, it's already Rajab and Shaban and Ramadan. Let it not be now, they say, alright, this is a yearly routine. These things just happen every year. قَدْ مَسَّ أَعْبَاءَنَ الدَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ This is the pattern of time. It carries on going in the same way. So let's carry on. Oh, why? You know, the amount of crisis, the death you saw through now, right? Like you never see before. In such a short span of time, and so much of casualties. Now, isn't that a lesson? فَأَتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ People of intelligence, take a lesson. Let this month be a changing point. From Rajab now, must be a changing point in our lives. I must take stock of myself. I need to correct myself. What he is doing and that person is doing, I am not answerable for them. Yes, I am definitely answerable for myself. See, at the approach of Qiyamah, what did Rasulullah say? What advice is? What ki ala khatiyati, cry over yourself. Because if you want to be thinking about what that person did and what he is doing, you will get so absorbed in that person, you will forget your own self. That doesn't make business sense. You're so absorbed in that person's business that you neglected your business. He's doing this and that person is doing this and the third person is doing this. But what are you doing? Are you neglecting your own business? Are you neglecting your own dini responsibilities or not? Absorbed in that person. Wabki ala khatir, cry over yourself. So wabtahu ilayhi alwasila. Those ways that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, Rahmatullah Alayhi, is the contemporary of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, coming around the 6th century, 5th, 6th century. So, he's a person coming by the Rose Mubarak, and he says, فِي حَالَةِ الْبُعْدِ رُوحِي كُنْتُ أُرْسِلُهَا تُقَبِّلُ الْأَرْضَ عَنِّي وَهِيَ نَائِبَتِي فَهَادِي دَوْلَةُ الْأَشْبَاهِ قَدْ حَدَرَتْ فَمْدُدْ يَمِينَكْ He says, when I was there in Iraq, I should send my soul. In other words, my mind which should be here in Medina, and my mind which should convey the salam. Just for your ease, I'm translating his mind, right? Because you see now, what is meant by the soul reaching here? There's another chakra will fall into. So just for your ease, my mind used to be here, and I'm conveying the salams to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَهَذِهِ دَوْلَةُ الْأَشْبَاحِ قَدْ حَذَرَتْ. Now I'm here in person. Ya Rasulallah, just stretch out your hand, please. And now, at that time, there were approximately 70,000 people in the masjid. All of them witnessed, the whole masjid became radiant. Full, radiant, light. And the hands of Rasulullah just came off him. Now this is Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali. I have to give you a small little introduction of the person so that you may be able to appreciate the statement that he made. So he says that I have seen the length and the breadth of this whole path. The highs and the lows I've seen. I've seen the obstacles, the plus and the minus. I've seen everything of this. So there isn't anything of this path that I haven't seen. I've seen the whole thing. This is the man. When this whole incident had happened, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani was in the masjid as well, right? So someone asked him that, didn't you also aspire? Didn't you envy that? He's asking that, you're asking me, didn't I aspire for that? The malaika in the sama, they were aspiring for that. You asking me if I didn't aspire? They were aspiring for this. You think I will not aspire for that? So this was the man, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh. So now he says, I've seen the whole path. See, this is what we're looking now. Get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do it? And he's saying, I've seen the length and the breadth, the highs and the lows, the plus and the minus, the impediments and the plus factors. I've seen the whole thing. He says, I found the thing to be most expedient is the aspect of abdiyat. Right? Abdiyat means slavery. Now to understand that abdiyat is about the most important grief, how you understand it. See, we talk about the mi'raj. This month we'll talk about mi'raj, right? And we'll talk about how Rasulullah s.a.w. ascended, the first guy, who he met, etc., etc. Right? The Sidratul Muntaha, then he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But when Allah ta'ala records this whole incident, he says, Asra bi abdihi. He took his slave by night. He took his. So this we count it as the pinnacle of the glory of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the height of his glory, that he reached up to Allah ta'ala, he seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pinnacle of the glory of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at that point, right? That point. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Ziyada, what does it mean? Someone says Ridwan, and someone says Ziyaratul Rahmat. So now that was the pinnacle, that was the highest, right? So Rasulullah was in a reached at maqam. But when Allah Pak speaks, extolling the virtue of Rasulullah Pak, what is the word that he uses? Asra bi abdi, took his slave by night. He could have said, taken his Rasul by night. He could have said, taken his beloved by night, his Khalil, his Habib by night. But Allah Pak chose to use the word abdi, impressing upon us that when Rasulullah sallallahu perfected the abdiyat, then Allah ta'ala perfected his maqam. See that? When he perfected the requirements of abdiyat, then Allah ta'ala perfected his maqam as well. That he went to the highest when he lowered himself to the lowest. When he lowered himself to the lowest, when he perfected the abdiyat, then Allah ta'ala took him to the highest. So if that was a requirement for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, won't it be a requirement for us as well, that we lower ourselves? And this is such a logical thing, such a logical thing. If we just apply our brains, we'll come to the same conclusion. You've got a piece of land, hundreds and thousands of hectares of land you've got, right? All stony, thorny, stones, thorns, bush, everything, right? Now you got some expensive seeds, very expensive, zafran you got. And you know this is the right land. Now zafran is going about the most expensive crop that you can think about. The price of gold is going, right? Zafran. And you got the seeds, you got the land, everything you got. Everything is suitable. But I ask you, if you just sow those seeds of Zafran in that land, are you wasting or not? The first thing is soften that land, break that land, break it. So break yourself in order to get the progress. Break it, that ego, that pride, me, my, I. Say, I Kona. What? I comes again. I Kona. I, then you come and jam you up all the time. Me, what's about my name? What do people talk about me? How will they feel about me? What about my reputation? What about myself? What about my people? What will people think about us? But leave that I Kona. Leave it. Just for the sake of another, break yourself. Break it. I am nothing. I mean nothing. I was nothing. I'll be reduced to nothing. Keep understanding that concept of Abdiya. And I say the easiest way to get there, think about this, Allah put in my mind, right? Is to reprogram the mind. You know, computer, you reprogram it. Phone, you reprogram it, right? It doesn't happen, you block this and you block that. But I don't know, really, I don't know what this thing is all about, right? I'm not praising myself, but really, I don't know which button to press, which not to press. Yesterday I was trying to see now that they got an acorn in the room now. What button to press? I can't get it right. Pressing this button, that button. Fuck, it works. Anyway, so how do we reprogram our minds? How do we reprogram? The program we program our minds with, my objective and goal in life is not authority. Not position, not recognition, not popularity. My goal in life is Abdiya. Whatever it takes to make me an Abd, whatever it takes to make me an Abd, that's my goal. I ask you, you don't know your goal. Are you moving in the right direction or the wrong direction? So just have to reprogram. Before the program was, I must be recognized, I must be popular, I must be known, people must talk about me. People must talk about myself, my khidmat, my services, etc. They must talk. Now, I'm nothing. I must be nothing. Right? I must think nothing of myself. That's my goal, to work towards me being nothing. That's my goal. I'm working towards it. I'm striving towards it. I'm endeavoring towards it. All my resources are towards me being nothing, understanding that I'm nothing. When you say I'm being nothing, what do you mean? I'm being nothing means my thinking is nothing, my understanding is nothing, my knowledge is nothing, right? Allah Ta'ala is everything. I don't have the right thought, I don't have the right understanding, I don't have the right thinking, so now I must subdue myself. And now this was the point where Shaitan lost out. He couldn't just subdue himself. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yadi. What stopped you from subduing yourself? What stopped you? See that the whole idea is to subdue, leave your thinking. He's got a mind of his own. Now I must do it like this. He's had a mind of his own. Very proudly saying, I got a mind of my own. You can say that. But now think where this thing is coming from. He says that I got a mind of my own. Allah is asking, Ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yadi. So his mind is working like this, ana khair. What he's saying? That I understand me, Allah, understand me, then I will understand you. What? Understand me, then I will subdue you. Understand me, recognize me, then I will recognize you. And Allah Pak is saying, no, bhai, you recognize me first. And I will reward you for that. But you, the plan is you must recognize me first. Understand who I am. Just subdue yourself without any reason, unconditional submission. You're subduing yourself unconditionally. Leave out this, I just submit. Do this, I submit. You desire for this, I submit. Don't desire for that, I will submit. Now when you come to this now, at that point, now you say you're in Abdiya. Now you say you're in Islam. Islam, you subdued yourself. You submit yourself unconditional, no condition, unquestionable authority you are recognizing. Now that's called submission, that's called subduing yourself. Allah Pak Tawfiq Istighfar.